is Dan Barish, the Jewish liberal from Cleveland.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle.
And we are the common ground.
And this week we're going to be talking about voting, voting rights, a number of things surrounding voting, voting patterns, and that sort of thing. So
yes,
Dan had a point he wanted to bring up.
Yes, I'd like to take this opportunity to declare that now I am 29 years old, and in 6 or 7 years I want you to vote for me for president of the United States of America. No, and this whole thing is a Trojan horse. So anyway, so some issues around voting. We're going to be talking about how people should be informed citizens, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to be sharing...
So as far as in being informed, anyway.
Share some concerns about...
Go ahead.
Sharing some concerns about the voting process. A concern as a good liberal is that in many states, and not just in the South, there are some new attempts at voter suppression that I think are very concerning. And also, just on the logistical side, while I am usually big into technology, I firmly oppose electronic voting because I think it opens the electoral process open to a whole new kind of danger, which is to say hacking.
Yeah, hacking could be bad. Or, you know, it's more likely to have voter fraud or easier to hide voter fraud.
Absolutely.
And there's less to investigate with the voter fraud if that does happen.
So you first with your concerns and your thoughts?
So if you're doing in-person voting, you know, you may not like this, and a lot of liberals don't like it, but it is a very popular idea of having voter ID, just making sure you are who you say you are, basically. Now, a lot of people have sometimes tried to take this too far, to the point where it becomes voter suppression, such as requiring highly specific forms of photo ID, or, you know, like disallowing certain things, or by making it difficult to vote. You know, there's a few things. You're a little more familiar with this. There's something going on, I think it was in Ohio, that you were concerned about, Dan?
Well, we've got Secretary of State John Husted, who is a Republican, unfortunately using what should be a nonpartisan office for partisan purposes, trying to do things like really rolling back early voting, and they've been fighting with federal courts about that, and I firmly oppose that. I think I oppose the rolling back. I think that everything needs to be done to make voting as easy as possible. And ideally, and I know I'm not the first to say this, Election Day really should be a national holiday. I was once again too lazy to vote absentee, which is the laziest, simplest way to vote. So I'm going to have to rush home after work on that day and just go to my nearest voting area. And that'll be fine, but it should be a national holiday.
You know, there's an interesting thing. Like, Washington has a great system. I think it works really well. It's all via mail. It's a mail ballot. So if you're a registered voter, you get mailed a ballot. And then you sign the ballot, and then you can either drop it off or mail it. Most people that I know drop it off at the ballot box. And you get it a couple weeks or so before the election, and then you drop off your ballot. I like it because I'm able to think and discuss the ballot. Like, my wife and I, we sit down and we take like an evening and discuss the ballot, look at all the different things that are on there. We research them together, and we make our decisions. You know, we don't always agree on everything, but we make our decisions together and we research it together. And
right.
I think, you know, it makes it more of a the voting. I mean, it at least between my wife and I, it brings us together on a certain, you know, to be able to have like the positions, and brings us together to vote.
Absolutely. I can see doing it that way. What I do like to do is be an informed voter. So I try to educate myself on the ballot issues. And actually, the last time I voted, my smartphone really helped, because if I didn't know what a proposition was, I'd actually pull out my iPhone and look it up. Because if I don't know the candidate, or if I don't know the issue, I think the only ethical thing is to abstain.
Yeah, it's if voting uninformed is worse than not voting at all.
Yes. In Cuyahoga County here, in Cleveland, Ohio is the county seat of Cuyahoga County. We have what some would refer to as the Irish Catholic name game, which applies especially maybe to the judges. Some people, you know, there will be those who just vote the Democratic ticket or the Republican ticket, but this is a very, Cuyahoga County is very Democratic. But, you know, you look for this judge who's, oh, and the name is O'Banlin, or the name is whatever, something Irish Catholic sounding, and somehow they just get in, even though people have no idea what sorts of decisions this judge makes. or what the three different bar associations think of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a local website called judgeforyourself.com that actually has aggregate ratings from these bar associations, and I sort of use those as a guide myself.
Yeah, it's nice to have. I mean, there's a lot of voter guides out there which can help you to know what kinds of issues these people will fight for and what they're going to do. Of course, there's always the statements that they give themselves on what their positions are, and you can verify that through third-party things, third-party sites that go through and figure out what are their voting patterns. There's a lot of people that are, you know, there's a lot of Senate races and things like that. And a lot of times, you know, there'll be like a Democrat, which is saying, hey, in a red state that's like, hey, I really oppose Obama on so many things. And then you look at their voting record and they vote 95-99% with Obama's views, which if, like, or vice versa, you don't like Obama or don't like the president or don't like certain things, you can see what their voting records are, what their voting patterns are in the Senate, in that sort of thing. See what things they tend to vote on and what committees they work on and that sort of thing.
Right, right. So, you know, it's important to know their voting record. And, you know, sometimes I've struggled with apathy as a voter. The only election I was eligible to vote in that I didn't vote in was the 06 midterms. I was in school at the time. I was feeling pretty lazy. I didn't feel like exerting myself. And lo and behold, exactly what I was hoping for happened anyhow. The Democrats took both houses of Congress, and all the issues I was hoping for that, you know, would happen the way that they happened that way. But that wasn't good of me. Because if you say, I'm not going to bother to vote because this, I'm not going to bother to vote because the system is rigged, what that actually does is it unleashes a force particularly predominant in the midterms, which is that your more ideologically motivated voters are going to vote instead of the regular people coming out and exerting their usual force.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm certainly expecting that these upcoming midterms are going to be a wash of the Democratic Party, and that liberals now have only the White House and or Senate filibusters to hold back what to us is the most, you know, might be the most extreme elements of whatever conservative agenda there may be. But the thing is, it'll be no different than the situation the Republicans found themselves in 06. And so the pendulum just keeps on swinging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so these are things like these kinds of reasons are not reasons not to vote. Their reasons to become more involved in the process.
Yes, and we should all be active citizens as much as we can. There's a couple of things that I really like about certain places, certain ideas about voting. In Louisiana, for instance, they have a runoff system where if there is no one that gets a plurality of votes or the over 50% majority of votes, then they have a runoff where the top two vote getters go in and they're able to face off against each other. And so I think that allows for instances where there's like third parties and other interested parties, especially when, say, you're in a very liberal state or in a very, you know, very liberal area, very conservative area. It allows mm-hmm. for, you know, for extra ideas to get in there, as opposed to just being a monolithic, whoever gets the most at the time wins kind of thing. And so, you know, that is one idea that I think would be good if it took hold in more places.
Because I generally
often
do think
there's, I mean, often there are, within parties, there are dichotomies of ideas. And so if you just have one idea set that gets voted on or set up in a certain area, then that tends to take hold. And, you know, you get the more extreme ideas as opposed to, you know, there being a good example of something. You know, like, you know what I'm saying, Dan?
So the only thing that I really should mention is that we liberals look at attempts to roll back early voting and attempts to have stronger voter ID. And what we see is that conservatives, at least the conservative politicians, not necessarily just regular people like yourself, are saying we're trying to stop voter fraud, when in reality voter fraud is not a very big problem in this country, but vote suppression is. Particularly that if you make it so much harder to identify yourself at the polls and so much harder to vote, you are squeezing out the minorities that often make up the voting base of the Democratic Party, squeezing out people of color, squeezing out women, squeezing out people who aren't well-to-do white males. That's our fear, that all it really is a concerted, systematic attempt to diminish the ability of the Democratic base to vote for more liberal candidates.
As a side note, it's over 70% of African Americans agree that, you know, you should show a voter vote, show an ID at the ballot, and it's in the 80s or 90s overall percentage wise as to supporting a voter ID law. Now, you know, again, you can make those too strict so that it does get into the voter suppression idea, but voter fraud is more prevalent than it is often made out to be. Like the only 40 cases of federal voter fraud that is often touted was literally a group of, like, the studies that were there are very sketchy studies that show that there is more voter fraud than a lot of, like, Democratic candidates tend to spout. But again, we don't want to swing too far to the point where it becomes suppression either.
Well, I would go there only if I saw data that said it, as opposed to a claim that it's the case. I generally
that 40 is just federal, which was over a short period of time. There, the states bring a lot more voter ID like fraud cases forward. They that doesn't include any state cases at all. Within the states, there's a lot more than there.
But in any case, I have not seen quantitative data that tells me that we have a problem that needs to be attacked. What I do think is that we need to make it easier to vote more. And actually, one thing that I should bring in, especially as a forensic social worker, is that I strongly oppose banning ex-felons from voting. That's one thing if you're actively serving time on a felony. But if you're done serving your time, well, then where's our idea that you've paid your debt to society, really?
If we also exclude parole in there, I think I would agree with you.
I'm not even sure how I feel about that because I haven't done any thinking about it, but I have seen...
I think, you know, to me, like, once you've paid your debt to society, which is the part where you're in jail, and then you come out, I think, you know, you've served your sentence, and if you go through parole and prove that you're a citizen and up in good standing through your parole, then I think, yes, your voter rights should be restored.
And the...
You've served your time and then prove that you're a good citizen in good standing.
And the fascinating and terrible thing, I have seen it argued that if we didn't have felon disenfranchisement, then Presidents Reagan and Bush Jr., I know that's not his name, but just for shorthand, none of these three men would have been president had it not been for felon disenfranchisement. That's what I've heard. Now, if that's actually true quantitatively, and I don't know, but that's the argument I've seen made, and that horrifies me. Not that I object to somebody of the other party being president. I think it's a thing that's going to happen over and over. But to think that the effect was so massive that just because we decided somebody could never finish paying their debt, we actually changed who would be president, effectively, that horrifies me.
Yeah. So, go vote.
Yes.
Remember to do it. However your state does it. There are great... there are some great systems out there, and for voting, there are some not so great systems for voting, and try to encourage your state to do better at it. I mean, this is part of why we have multiple states, so they can figure out what works well and what works well for them.
Dan Barish, liberal Jew from Cleveland, as a write-in candidate. I think that's the lesson you all need to take away, is I can be a write-in candidate, and I will do whatever you want me to do, even though I don't know what it is, but I will sense what you want in the wind.
Dan has no principles, in other words.
Absolutely not! It's called being flexible and pragmatic, Matt. Anyway, this is Dan Barish, the Jewish liberal from Cleveland who is not a candidate in any elections, signing off.
And this is Matt Shepard, the Mormon conservative from Seattle, signing off.